You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Access Platform is a new writing platform for deaf and disabled writers, which is taking place at the Vault Festival this year. One of the Access Platform curators is a partially sighted playwright who had great success with her show Libby's Eyes last year, and who joins me now, Amy Bethan Evans. Amy, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Chris. You're right.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Now, tell us how the idea for Access Platform came about.
Well, basically, I used to run new writing platforms in Bristol a lot, and I wanted to do it in London, but there are lots of them in London, and I just thought, you know, what kind of platform do we need? And something I did notice is a lot of the platforms were in pub theatres, which didn't have step-free access. And, you know, there were a lot of wheelchair-using and writers that required step-free access that were missing out on that experience of getting their plays on in that kind of environment, which can be a really big stepping stone to getting experience and getting your plays on. I noticed that the Vault is wheelchair-accessible. And then I thought, well, you know, why can't new writing platforms be captioned and audio described? Like, there is a really good one, actually, that is captioned and audio described with a set familiarization at the Bunker, which is called Six. And I thought, well, but their process is slightly different in that they commission the writers. So I thought, well, what if I have the open submission system that I had in Bristol and I got some great submissions from? But I opened it to writers that identify as deaf or disabled. And when I was doing interviews for directors for Libby's Eyes, one of the interviewees was Stephen Bailey. And while he didn't end up directing Libby's Eyes, he had a similar idea. So we decided to join forces. And we've got another director now on board, Elska Waite, who I met working at the Albert Hall. And yeah, we're all working on this together.
It does sound fantastic. And you mentioned there about the fact that you are getting your writers, you're getting people to submit their scripts via this open access. Tell us more about that.
So it's basically an email and anybody can submit a script of the specified length and amount of characters because we're not made of money. And and I just think that that's a good way to get people to send things. And, you know, and we've said that we're going to give some sort of feedback to everyone that enters. Like we're going to have a short list of 15 from which we'll pick 5. And that's to say that these are the plays that we really liked, but we also had to make an evening's entertainment. So we're putting on these 5. Then we'll try it and we'll get full script reports to the other 10 plays that were on the short list. Yeah, we'll try and get some sort of feedback to everyone that enters, because I appreciate for a lot of them, it will probably be the first time that they've entered something like this. And I just feel like, you know, having the call limited to disabled artists is going to wake some people up and get them to send things, whereas they might not otherwise.
I must say, though, has it been quite grueling? You mentioned there that you're narrowing down the scripts from a long list of 15 to a short list of 5. And you know that a lot of the people who are submitting these scripts, it might be the first time they've ever done something like this. It might be that they've poured their heart and soul into these scripts. Is it quite difficult, that narrowing down process?
It can be, but you just have to do it with a different head on. You know, sometimes, you know, you can tell if someone's an early stage writer and the best thing you can do is give them some encouraging feedback. And, you know, you just have to be a bit brutal sometimes. But also, you know, it's not that you think any of the plays are bad. It's just that, you know, maybe they're not for us. They're not for this environment. And if you know your theatre and you know your scratch night, then you know what you're going for, then it's quite easy to narrow things down. And, you know, and it's all in the wording of how you tell people as well, I think. Like, I know that sometimes when you don't get any feedback at all, you can think, oh, my play was rubbish then. And it probably wasn't. Like, very few things are. So by giving some slightly more specific feedback, you know, you can just reassure people that their work is of value. It just wasn't for us on this occasion.
having your submission process for DDEF and disabled writers, have you noticed any predominant themes coming through the script?
No, not really. I've been really pleasantly surprised at the variety that's in them. And we didn't specify that a script had to be about impairment or disability. Because I don't think disabled writers should feel obliged to write about that if it's not what interests them. We're probably going to use all deaf and disabled actors, but there's going to be more of an ensemble thing. So it doesn't really, you know, we're quite open to what the script can be about. Yeah, there's not really a predominant theme coming through. I would say that, you know, there are a couple of people are writing about disability. Yeah, which is what you'd expect really when you're putting out that kind of call. But at the end of the day, it's all about the human experience. And if being disabled is your human experience, then, you know, why wouldn't you want to write about it?
Well, as you say, the call is out there. Scripts are being submitted and the performances themselves will take place at Vaults in front of a paying audience. And as you mentioned, you aim to cast predominantly DDEF and disabled actors and are certainly aiming to endeavour to cast them in these roles. Why is this important?
I just think, you know, it's really important to see disabled people on stage, either playing disability or not. And if you don't understand why that's important, then, you know, you've never had to grow up not having yourself represented on stage or screen. And you're very lucky. You know, I think, you know, it's just disability is incredibly underrepresented in diversity debates. And it really annoys me when people say, oh, it's acting, you know, people should be able to play anything, because, yeah, that is true. But you can't tell us that and then tell us that, you know, we don't get basic access, that we can't go to everything that's on because you can't provide us with a guide or you can't provide us with audio description. You know, don't tell us that and then tell us that anyone can play anyone, because that just isn't true.
I had a blind actress on the show at one point and she said something that really stuck with me and I love, and it comes to me every now and then, but certainly when, as you're talking about this just now, Amy, but she said, don't play us, pay us to play us.
Oh yeah, that's a really good, that's quite an old mantra. And it's a really good ethos, I think, because the other thing is that, you know, actors get praised for playing impairment. And it's like, oh, great, well done. You overcame that massive barrier of not being disabled. And, you know, when actually there are disabled actors out there that could have played that role. And, you know, and actually getting somebody praised for how well they play disability or impairment, it's, you know, it's quite ignorant, really. Because there are loads of people out there that could, you know, that have the impairment and could bring that to a character. And, you know, the impairment is not something to be played. You know, it's part of a character and it affects how the character perceives their world. If you get stuck looking at how well an actor is playing an impairment, you're not actually looking at how they're playing the character.
Absolutely, especially around about award season as we are now, and people refer to a lot of these movies where fully abled actors are playing someone with a disability or with sight loss or with hearing loss as Oscar bait films.
It's really tiring, actually, because it's a conversation that disability activists like myself have been having for so long, and people just don't listen. And I think the Bryan Cranston thing was the most recent debate. And it's like, oh, and you know, there's a load of stock excuses that people use for why a disabled actor can't play that role. It's like, oh, well, there wasn't anybody high profile enough. Yeah, and why is there nobody high profile enough? Because you haven't given us the profile in the first place. You know, like, your rebuttal is just disagreeing about where the problem started. You're not, you know, that doesn't dispute that there's a problem.
Well, before major change can happen, we need more people like you, Amy. And I think Access Platform is going to be an absolutely fantastic addition to getting people with disability, hearing loss and sight loss onto the stages with their writing or with their performance. So if our listeners would like to find out more about Access Platform or indeed attend any of the two performances, where should they go?
The email address for the platform is accessplatformvaults, all one word, podcast@gmail.com. So if you've got any direct questions, you can email us there. You can also contact the Vault Festival. Jill Greer is in charge of the access that, in terms of audience members. But like, if you've got any queries specifically to do with visual impairment, then yeah, just shoot me an email and I can empathise.
And when is the Vault Festival taking place?
The Vault Festival has already started. It goes on for a very long time. The platform is on the 13th and 14th of March.
Amy, Beth and Evans, good luck with the project and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio.